Here's the bad news. I'm doing it again. Here's the good news. Once we hit our goal for our matching gift campaign at the end of the year, I'll stop preempting, well, me, I guess. If you are not yet a gospel partner, would you please consider joining us at this time? You can double your impact. We have a matching gift campaign going on. It is a big one. It is our desire to hit and, well, honestly, exceed that goal, because the more people give, the more we will do to get the gospel out to university campuses, social media, TV, and radio. We want people to be saved. And if that is the type of ministry that really lights you up when it comes to giving, well, would encourage you to visit our website, fortisinstitute.org. Check us out. See all the things that we're doing, all the people that we're associated with. And it is my hope, as the year draws to a close, you'll help us hit that goal by becoming a gospel partner. You can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's a culture war, the religious right has started it. The religious right has this book that they're trying to make the world follow.
Shutting down government is unbiblical. Because government has a biblical responsibility to care for the poor, they're against poor people.
God told me that we are our brother's keeper. The labor movement is our brother's keeper. So help me God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to a Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio at Gainesville State University, which providentially happens to be located in Gainesville, Georgia. It is a beautiful day. The kids are pretty much everywhere, and we might put Witness Wednesday on hold just for a few minutes, maybe. There's a fellow who's walking across the campus on the sidewalk, kind of going with the flow with everybody else. And he has a seeing eye dog. And I just thought it might be interesting to see if we could chat with this fellow to get a little bit of an inside scoop on his life and what it is like to need a seeing eye dog. And so I'm going to give that a go right now. Excuse me, young man. How do you do?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. Are you on your way to class right now?
I have to take her to the bathroom, then go back to my club.
Right? My name's Todd.
Pleased to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you too. How do you do? Yep. And the reason that I stopped you, I've got a microphone in my hand. We're on radio. Mm-hmm. Dude, I just want to ask you, I take it you have trouble seeing, or are you completely blind?
Yes, I'm blind.
You're completely blind. Hey, you know what? I just want to know what it's like in your world. What is it like to not have eyesight?
Well, it's different. You have to see things from a different perspective. You know, you have to depend on your other, you know, senses, like hearing.
Have you ever been able to see?
Yes.
You have? How did you lose your eyesight?
I had a retinal detachment on my left eye.
I don't know. Okay, so that caused you to lose your sight?
Yeah, my left eye, and then I had a cataract on my pupil from birth on my right eye.
Really? So at what age did that happen to your left eye?
I think it was eight.
You're 8 years old. Yeah. So you remember seeing things.
Yes. Yeah. Which actually has helped me a lot with when it comes to traveling, because I can visualize stuff, you know? Like, when I take left, right, I kind of start mapping it out in my head.
You got a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you see darkness, or do you just, there's just, you have no sense of light? No.
I can see light. I only have light perception.
All right.
So like, I can tell it's daytime. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. But everything is very fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How do people treat you?
Actually pretty good.
Yeah?
Surprisingly, you know.
Yeah? Do you think that you get preferential treatment?
Sometimes, I guess.
Sometimes? That's all right. Sometimes you do. All right. And so you're 8 years old and you lose your eyesight. How did you deal with that? How did you cope?
I think my family really helped me out a lot. And I had kids, you know, friends that really, they didn't really see me any different. They helped me out a lot.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Good, because sometimes kids can be kind of cruel.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was in fourth grade. You know, I did have trouble with that. No, I think it was third grade.
Yeah.
You know, because I used to wear big glasses, you know, and kids used to make fun of me, so I had to change school. But that was like, you know, other kids, you know, random kids.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, this dog that you got down here,
mm-hmm.
he helps you.
Yeah, her name's Oasis.
Oasis.
Yeah.
Do people always want to pet her?
Sometimes.
Is that kind of a bad thing to do?
Yes, because they get distracted.
And they need to be focused on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they're working. Only when they have their harness. Now, they can get petted when they're off the harness.
So if I ever see somebody with a seeing eye dog, as tempted as I might be to pet the pooch, leave him alone.
Yep.
If he or she is working.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, dude, do you have any sort of spiritual beliefs?
I guess you could say I'm Catholic, but I'm not really...
committed?
Yes.
How come?
I'm not sure. I'm just more like a basic believer, you know, be like, you know, Jesus saved me and that's pretty much it, you know?
What does that mean?
That he died for our sins, pretty much. Just basic Christianity belief.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And why did he do that?
Okay, you're asking the wrong person now.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yeah.
All right. Have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Have I kept them?
Mm-hmm.
You mean, do I know them? I don't remember them off the top of my head.
All right, let's do a couple.
I've kept them.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be one of them. All right, how many lies have you told, dude?
Oh, I don't know, man.
More than one?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. What about murder? Have you ever committed murder?
No.
No. Have you ever just been really torqued with somebody, really angry at somebody?
I've been angry with someone, but that's about it.
Yeah. Unjustly angry. You know, just really mad at them because you thought they were a bonehead or a knucklehead.
Not really.
No?
No.
Pretty mellow guy?
Yeah.
All right. Do you know that Jesus said that if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart? Now, you've been without your eyesight for a number of years, but have you ever done that? Have you ever lusted?
I guess you could say that.
Okay. Did you ever do anything to dishonor your parents? Were you ever naughty as a child?
Probably like little stuff, you know, not listening probably when I was little, but not really.
Mm. Well, when you lied, that would be dishonoring to mom and dad, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
No.
No? Never used God's name in a low kind of way?
Mm-mm.
No, OMG, that type of stuff?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay. Has God always been the first priority in your life? Has he been number one in your
life? I have to admit, not always. So.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's honest.
I'd be lying.
You'd be lying. And I'd be another one. Okay, so wouldn't that be why Jesus needed to die for our sins? Because we're sinners?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because doesn't the Bible say that we're not really good people? We're actually very bad people?
Yeah.
And
we're not perfect, really.
Yeah.
And we could try to be, but we're really not, you know. So.
I agree with you. And we fall short of his standard, which is perfection, right?
Yes.
So if you're not perfect and you've broken God's laws and you died and he gave you justice, what do you think God would do with a guy like you or me?
You mean like, will he send me to hell?
Yeah. What do you
think? Nah, I doubt it.
Why not?
Because you know I'm not perfect, but I'm not a bad guy either, so
well,
I'm not a bad person.
The Bible says nobody does good. No, not one.
Mm-mm.
And that our hearts are deceitful and wicked above all things. So, the question then is, are you right or is the Bible right?
The Bible.
So you're not a good guy.
I guess not.
So if God gave you justice, wouldn't punishing you be more reasonable than rewarding you? It'd be sort of like a criminal in a courtroom who'd broken a lot of laws. And the criminal said, but judge, overall, I'm a really good guy. The judge would say, well, I don't know about that, but I do know that you've broken the laws. And justice demands that you go to jail and get punished.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't God be the exact same way?
You would think it would be, but I'm not sure to answer that question.
Yeah. Yeah, because we have a tendency to compare ourselves to other people. When we think about other people, we sort of think they're pretty bad compared to me.
To us, yeah, yeah.
You know, we compare ourselves to the really bad guys, the Adolf Hitlers, and we think, well, they're really bad. I'm not that bad. And we might not be that mad, but we're still bad.
We're still sinners.
That's right.
That's one thing we probably share in common with them. So.
That's absolutely right. That's, in fact, the Bible talks about how we're actually born in sin. It's just our nature. It's what we are. It's who we inherited our sinful nature. And that's, friend, what's your first name?
Ephron.
Ephron. That's our problem. That's the situation that we're in with God, is that we've broken his laws, and because mm-hmm. he's a God of justice, he has to punish lawbreakers. His righteousness demands it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think about it in those terms, all of a sudden we realize, wow, we are all in really big trouble here.
Yeah.
I don't have any chance of paying off my debt. I can't do anything to appease God, but God is rich in mercy. And he wants to save sinners, but he's got to uphold justice, but mm-hmm. he loves you and he wants to save you.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two things combined on the cross, where Jesus, God's son, God himself, took the punishment that you deserve for breaking God's laws.
True.
So the punishment, the wrath that you deserve from God was actually put on his son on your behalf.
And his sacrifice, yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then you get his goodness. He took your sins, and you get his righteousness in exchange. Mm-hmm. That's what the gospel is about. That's why Jesus died, not for good people, but for sinners.
For sinners, yeah.
Right. Now, have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
I think I have sometimes. I'm not sure, you know, what you mean by that.
Well, Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. I think what Jesus was getting at is that you must die, not physically,
spiritually.
But spiritually.
Yes.
And your will has got to be surrendered. Where instead of saying, I'm a good person, God wouldn't send me to hell. Instead, we go, I'm undone. I haven't kept his laws at all. I haven't done the things that I'm supposed to do and all the things that he tells me to do. I've broken those laws, and I deserve his punishment. And I'm sorry. Have mercy on me. You humble yourself before God. Cry out to him for forgiveness. You put your trust in Jesus Christ, who loved you enough to die for you. And God says, when you die to yourself, he will make you alive again. You'll be born again. He'll give you a new heart with new desires. He'll adopt you as his child. And you'll go to heaven, not because of what you've done, because all you've done is earned hell, but Jesus earned heaven for you. And God says that you will inherit eternal life because you will be forgiven and seen as perfect because of what Jesus did on your behalf. So, have you humbled yourself before God and cried out to him for mercy, and you know that he saved you and forgiven you?
I think I have to admit, not really.
All right.
I have to admit.
Jesus wants to save your soul.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life.
That was wrong.
That's good news. You ponder that today, okay?
Okay.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for teaching us about this. All right?
Thanks.
I appreciate it. All right, man. See ya. Didn't know that was going to turn into a witness encounter, but I sure am glad that it did. Pray for that young man. We will keep going on a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Here's a question. When's the last time you heard of a ministry making everything free? That's what happened this year at Fortis Institute. For years, we sold our books and our studies, all of our resources, because that's how we kept the lights on. But this year, we closed the warehouse. Everything we produce is now completely free. And here's the opportunity you have right now. Every gift you give through the end of the year is matched. Dollar for dollar match up to $500,000. FortisInstitute.org. Give now and watch your gift double today.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in count sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. Probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. And get this. It's all free. Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free. It's powerful. And it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus. At FortisPlus.org.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of Scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's Word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use Scripture to interpret Scripture. understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are at Gainesville State University, Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. Right now I'm sitting here with Anna. Is that correct, Anna?
Yes.
And you're willing to let me talk to you on the radio, right?
Yes.
All right. And you said something interesting. You've got a Bible there, and you said you wanted to maybe learn how to share your faith better.
Right.
All right? So here's what we'll do. I'm gonna try to witness to you. As mm-hmm. if you are an unregenerate heathen, I'm going to try to witness to you, and you tell me if you think that this is a good approach, all right? Okay. Now, before I embark on that, here's the question. You want to witness and share the gospel with somebody, right?
Right.
Specifically, what is the gospel? What is the good news?
The good news is Christ is alive.
Okay. And why is that good news?
Because it means we're forgiven and we're not separated from God anymore.
All right, so right on. The key issue is forgiveness of sins. Okay. If somebody doesn't have their sins forgiven, what's going to happen to them when they die?
They're separated from God forever in hell.
Yeah, yeah. Bad place.
Yeah.
Where they get punished for their sins, right?
Right.
So keeping that in mind, the issue is forgiveness of sins, because sometimes as evangelicals, we make the gospel a little something else. For instance, maybe you've heard this. You've tried sex, drugs, rock and roll. You've got a big house, but you still have a God-shaped hole in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus will fill that hole. So people go, oh, you know what? I have been feeling that way. So they ask Jesus into their heart in kind of an experimental fashion. You know, they try it to see if maybe this is the drug that they need to ease their conscience or their pain. But they don't come to Jesus because he's a good God who died to save them from the wrath that is to come.
Right.
So when we keep that in view, it helps us to focus in a witness encounter. Sometimes people will say, are you sick? Do you need healing? Jesus will heal your physical ailments. And so somebody who's been in a wheelchair or they've had chronic pain, they go, okay, I'll come to Jesus. And they come seeking gifts, but they don't come seeking the giver of every good thing.
Right.
So we want to make sure that as we share the gospel, we're laser-like in making the issue about forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
And a good way to do that is to use the law of God, the Ten Commandments. Paul said in Galatians 3 that the law is a schoolmaster. It's like a tutor that you would have here on campus to bring you to the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
How do we use the law to teach people they need a Savior? I think Paul demonstrated it in Romans 2. Jesus demonstrated it in Luke chapter 18 with the rich young ruler.
Mm-hmm.
The rich young ruler came up and said, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? Now, we might be inclined to say, well, ask me into your heart
mm-hmm.
and you're good to go. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus used the law to help the rich young ruler understand he was not worthy of heaven. And so he walked him through the laws of God, the Ten Commandments. So if I were going to witness to you, I would say, have you kept the Ten Commandments? What would you say?
No.
No. So you've lied?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Have you stolen something?
Yes.
Mm. Have you ever been angry at somebody, unjustly called them bad names, thought they were idiots because of the way they drive?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the rest of us. And Jesus warned that you're in danger of judgment because we're murderers at heart when we're just towards somebody.
Right.
So now here's our situation. We're all liars. We're all thieves. We're all murderers at heart. We die. We face God on judgment day. God is good and he's holy and he's just and he hates sin very much.
Mm-hmm.
What should he do with a guilty criminal like you who's a sinner? Should he take you to heaven or should he send you to hell?
Probably send me to hell.
Yeah.
Can't have a mangy dog in your house.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Exactly correct. Now, what has God done so that the mangy dogs don't need to go to hell? What has God done to rescue the dogs?
Well, he's sent his son to clean them up and wash them clean.
And to take the wrath of God that's aimed at the mangy dogs for biting the hands of the master and being disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Jesus Christ, if you will, became the mangy dog who deserves the beating from the master, and he took the beating for us.
Yeah.
So that the wrath that you should receive, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, took the wrath on your behalf. Because despite the fact that we are mangy dogs, he loves us anyway. Mm-hmm. And so forgiveness of sins is available because of the goodness of Jesus Christ being punished for your sins and keeping all the commandments that you and I, the mangy dogs, have broken. But now, here's the thing, Anna. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is available. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to have Jesus' goodness credited to my account, to have the wrath of God placed on him instead of me? What must I do?
Well, I've been taught to say, ask Jesus into your heart, repeat a prayer after me. But I think there's a lot more to it than that. That seems just kind of like, okay, yay, I said the prayer, now what?
Yeah.
So I don't know, I'm a little bit at a loss for what else to say.
I think you're right in thinking, wow, that seems odd. I asked Jesus into my heart. It just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. The response to this good news is to turn from your sins, not to become perfect, but to hate the things that were dirty, that made you a mangy dog. To turn from them, say you're sorry, to call out to God for mercy, just like any penitent person would who's offended somebody. And you turn from your sins and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And he promises when you do that, you'll be forgiven of all of your sins and God will grant you everlasting life. And he'll change you from a mangy dog and he'll turn you into the image of his son. And you'll inherit eternal life because God is that good. Mm-hmm. Now, two thoughts for you. I did not accuse you of being a sinner. Did you notice? I didn't go, you're a liar, you're a thief, you're a blasphemer. I simply asked you questions. So to help the sinner understand their need for sin, you can draw their confession of guilt out by simply asking questions. Not by angrily shouting, you're going to hell, but to make hell reasonable by opening up the law of God so they can see it like a mirror that they look at and go, wow, I'm dirty, I'm unclean. Mm-hmm. And then they see that they can be cleansed because of the living water, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And this is crucial too, okay? I don't know if maybe you're experiencing this in your own heart. The reason that you should repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ is not simply to escape the wrath of God. This is important. He poured out justice on himself so that justice could be satisfied. And we should turn from our wicked ways and flee to him, not because we're scared of hell, but because he has been so kind to save us from hell. Romans 2, it's the kindness of God that leads us to salvation. We should want to turn from our sins because we see them for what they are, and we see him for the amazing thing that he is, our God and our Savior. And we flee to him because we now want him more than we wanted our sins.
Right.
So it's really important that we examine our motive to make sure that we don't just come looking for the gifts. We don't come just looking to escape hell. We come looking to the giver, to the rescuer, because he is better than anything else in the world. Jesus is better than anything.
Amen.
So there you go. There's my little presentation to you.
Okay.
You're the teacher. What grade do I get?
I'd say you get an A.
Really?
Yeah. That was really good. Thank you.
Okay. So now you've repented and put your trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is key too. All right? And this is sometimes what people forget about the gospel. We hear that good news and we go, wow, God will save a mangy dog. Okay, I repented. I put my trust in Jesus. I don't need the gospel anymore. Mm-hmm. And sometimes then we spend our days trying to do things to stay saved. And we have motives that suggest that we aren't remembering the gospel. Mm-hmm. You haven't been reading your Bible as much as you should this week, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, if you've been sinning by neglecting God's word, you confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The end. Don't think, okay, well, I forgot to read it last Tuesday, so I'm going to read it twice as much on Wednesday to make up for it so that God's not mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong. Okay? That's false motive. Because your relationship is then established on your performance when it needs to be based on Jesus' performance. We want our motivation to be grace. You realize, I didn't read my Bible like I should. You confess it to God and you realize, wow, he's forgiven me of everything. Now I want to read the Bible more. Do you hear the difference?
Right.
Here's the reality. We fail constantly. We're just nothing but failures all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
But he's forgiven us anyway.
Yeah.
We don't abuse grace then and go, oh, whoop-de-doo, now I can sin all that I want. Mm-hmm. Just the opposite effect happens. Knowing that you've been forgiven of your sins causes you to desire not to sin. And on the day, Anna, when you wake up and you go, you know, I did so good yesterday. Uh-oh, you've forgotten the gospel. Because you know what? You didn't.
Yeah.
You read your Bible, but you should have read it more, and you should have witnessed more. And because you're not perfect, you fall short. Every day, don't forget the gospel. When you think you're doing good, you're not. When you're doing bad, you're not so bad that you're not forgiven.
Right.
And that'll get you to want to take those classes that you were telling me about and be a disciple and chase after him. Not because, oh boy, that's going to keep me in, but because I am in. Make sense?
Right, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
All right.
And you're right. It is so freeing. It's so liberating. And so just hallelujah. Praise God. He's good.
Amen. Hey, pleasure to meet you. All right. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the chat.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, see you. We are at Gainesville State University. It's Witness Wednesday. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.